Mrs. Madeline Davis interviewing a meet, October 3rd, 1978. Okay, I'll repeat the first question that I asked you before we started the tape, and that is, when thinking about someone writing a history of the lesbian community in Buffalo, are there any particularly important things that you think that people reading this history should know about?
The frustrations that we go through about coming out, for one thing. The different dealings that we have with people, whether work or in school. I think, like in my case, I'm 27 now, and at this point in my life, for the first time, I find myself actually facing my sexuality, whereas before I never thought about it. And that's hard. That's been hard for me. I sort of have, for the past 2 years, I've withdrawn from people because all of a sudden it hit me what I was and what was I doing with my life. I was doing nothing. Pressures from family, that's hard. To this day, I don't think my parents have accepted what I am. They've learned to deal with it. And that has an influence on someone's life, and it doesn't affect you right away, it affects you years later. As far as people relating to me as for what I am, I find it's been all right. It's been all right. I've had a lot of friends who just accept me as a person and never once question my sexuality.
I'm taking notes so that I can ask, you know, I don't want to interrupt what you're saying, so I'm going to take notes and then go back to and pick up things that you said. You said that you felt one of the important things to talk about was the frustrations, especially about coming out. Did you face really frustrating?
Well, I realized, you know, I realized I liked women when I was young. I was maybe 12. And I recall being, you know, having a crush on this lady that used to live upstairs from me. And I would see her, and she would dance, and I would see her, and I would feel all these funny things inside. Like I would want to hold her, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And then, or even what to do with those feelings too, because I didn't know what they were. Other people would notice, and they would, like my brother used to call me a lesbian when we were little kids, you know, that kind of thing. And that brought on, like, looking, you know, what's a lesbian? Mm-hmm. And where I lived, I was on the east side, there used to be a bar, Amos. And I was, at that time, I was around 15 when I realized that was where gay people used to go.
And what year was this? You were 15?
That must have been...
You're 27, yeah. So it's 12 years ago, 1966.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I want to, you know, sort of try to place it in some kind of time sequence. Okay.
Yeah, I was young. And I remember sort of cruising the place, looking at the different kind of people that used to go in, the different women. And they were, I remember thinking, God, they look so hard, you know, for being women. Because they were butches, you know, the slick back here. Mm-hmm. And they used to dress to the extremes in those days. If you were a butch, you could tell that you were a butch by the way that that I can remember. Mm-hmm. And sort of wanting that kind of life, but afraid of it because I didn't want to dress like that. I didn't want to be hard and look like a man because that's not what I liked a woman for. It was for her femininity or whatever. It wasn't for the fact that she, you know, resembled the man. It was, it took a long time for me to realize that because I came out with a butch. And it took a long time for me to realize that even though I was with her, and even though she was a woman, we had a hard time because she used to constantly remind me what I was, which was her friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that I didn't like that too much, because in those days I would want to do what she was doing. I mean, that's what I wanted, was to do with...
Like what?
Well, I would want to... like what?
Well, are you talking about fixing a car, or are you talking about sexual things?
Well,
or
yeah.
Yeah, what? Which?
Sexual.
Oh, okay.
I would want to, you know, even though she was the aggressor, I would want to be fondling her too, which was something she didn't care for.
I see. Mm-hmm. Right. Did you ever solve that problem within the relationship?
Well, towards the end, kind of. I mean, it happened in a strange way, but I think she was uncomfortable with that. That it was, especially me, because I was a lot younger than she was. She was in her 30s, and I was 19, 18. So, and for her to live the way she did all those years, and all of a sudden have someone bring that out in her, that made her a little uneasy, I think.
You said when you saw the woman going into Amos, you didn't want to look like those butches. Which means to me, I guess, that you wanted to look the same as the women that you wanted to be with. Is there a reasonable interpretation of that?
Well, something like that. When I was a kid, I remember going to Puerto Rican dances.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish dances, right? And the women, if they don't have a boyfriend, they dance with each other. And one of the prettiest sights to me was to see two women that looked like women, you know, that, you know, they, one wasn't leading the other, not so to speak, but sort of like blended in, you know, and just dance, and it looked so pretty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what if I ever wanted a woman, I wanted an extension of me, which the feminine, you see,
mm-hmm.
the feminine side of me, not a masculine looking woman, not a real hard one. I mean, because I've seen some who used to even wear like fake sideburns, and that's...
Sure. Mm-hmm. Let's try and, before we continue on with talk about roles, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about it. I'd like to get some background information. Were you born in Buffalo?
No, I was born in Puerto Rico,
uh-huh.
small town Jalco. But I was brought here when I was two.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, my culture is American. Although I still have some other values, but it's not as strict as if I was to live in Puerto Rico.
Were you raised in a Puerto Rican American community?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And you said you have a brother. Do you have any other?
I have two brothers and one sister.
Uh-huh. And you said your brother who called you a lezzy. Is that a brother who's younger or older? Or?
No, he's a year younger than I am.
Uh-huh.
He's gay too.
I see.
He's gay.
And your other brother and sister?
Well, she's 18 and he's 16.
Oh, so they're both a fair amount younger than you are.
Uh-huh. It's like two generations.
Do you know if either one of them is gay?
No, I don't think so. You know, my sister, she pretty much has accepted my brother and I for what we are. She goes out with us to the bars,
mm-hmm.
and she'll dance with me and maybe with a friend of mine, but. She's not curious as to, you know, what this life is all about, because she's seen pretty much what she's wanted to see out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she'd experiment with a woman yet anyway. As for my little brother, I don't know him that well, because he's still growing him.
Mm-hmm. The brother that's gay, do you see a lot of each other?
We go through spurts where we spend a lot of time together and then we don't see each other for a while. But on the whole, yeah.
Uh-huh.
We go out a lot together.
Yeah. How did it feel coming out in the Puerto Rican community?
Well, that was hard in the sense that I was still living at home, And I was 17. And I was seeing this woman. And she used to pick me up from school. She used to drive a cab. She used to pick me up in school. I used to have to hide, you know, underneath the hood. I mean, underneath, because we would have to pass my father's barbershop to go to her house. So I would have to hide. But they found out after all 3 months that I was seeing her, because somebody had spotted me in the cab, and then not only saw me once, but saw me a couple of times, and finally saw her get up, got out of the car once. And my father had me followed to school. And that's how he found out. And he sort of, oh, he gave it to me, you know. He kind of slapped me around and told me that was no good.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't stop seeing her. I kept seeing her. We were just more observant about what was around us before I got in the cab and stuff like that. And I left home the day after I graduated from high school, because I didn't like the idea of hurting them and living such a lie, as if pretending that I wasn't seeing them when I was seeing her. And because I respected my parents, and I didn't like to feel as if I was, you know, lying to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I left.
What was your mother's reaction
to the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she found it disgusting. She couldn't imagine what I wanted to do with a woman. She called me all kinds of names. She thinks it's a low life. You know, I think she even thinks that now, even though her opinion has changed somewhat. But she calls us half and half, you know, half and half people.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that you're, you know, you have a woman's body, but you have desires of a man, so to speak, so you're half and half.
To love a woman means that you have male desires.
Well, in her eyes, yeah.
Uh-huh. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about that? Well, I never liked how I, you know, I've taken a lot of abuse from her. I've just learned to ignore her. You know, ignore her, what she has to say about those puns. I feel very uncomfortable. I mean, I feel real shitty. That's how I feel. I feel real shitty with, because to this day, she still brings me up in front of my little brother and sister, like, as far as, well, you don't want to be like your sister. Look at her life. Look at the kind of life, hard life she's led since she's left home. And it's been because she hasn't been under, you know, our guidance, you know,
mm-hmm.
all these years. She's lost herself. You don't want to be like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get the feeling that maybe she's trying to tell him, well, you don't want to be a lesbian. You don't, you know. Yeah. That hurts. That hurts. But
do you think that you're leaving home is as much, might be a strong factor in her feelings about it? I guess what I'm trying to ask you is, if you tried to live your lesbian life and had stayed home, would that have been better or worse?
No, that would have been much worse. You see, I'm a woman, I mean, and the way they raise their women, you know, the way they raise their little girls, they're raised to get married, you know, and they're raised, as they get older, they don't leave the house usually without like someone like a chaperone, you know. You just don't date, you know, a boy, even though they want you to like boys. You just don't date boys. That's because, you know, you have to have a love, and that, you know, the guy has to come and court you, so to speak, in your house, you know. So that would have been hard, because even at my age, even I might have been 19 and still not had the freedom to maybe just step out the door,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so even if I wanted to live a double life, there was no way that I could have managed it without them finding out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, he lives that life. He lives a double role, and I can't understand how he does it, because he has no friends call him. He has no friends come and visit him. He's got no female friends, no male friends. So he looks like he's a constant loner. Yet he's always out. You know, he just sleeps there. That's what he does. He sleeps there. And I can't understand how they think, you know, they don't think anything wrong is, you know, anything's wrong with him, because of the way he lives.
Do you think maybe that's the way that families in the Puerto Rican community might view men? It might be just easier.
That's why it's been easy for him. It's because he is a man, and uh-huh. and he can do that without being questioned. Whereas if let's say even my sister wanted to live a kind, you know, a looser life than what she lives now, it would be impossible without constantly being interrogated, you know.
Like even go out on a date.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so essentially you've done two wrong things. You left home,
yeah.
plus you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that certainly doubles the, you know, the intensity of what happened.
It took, for years I always felt bothered, and I couldn't understand why such an intense feeling. But it was because, you know, deep down, I guess I was made to feel guilty for what I had done. Whereas that's changing now, you know. I guess it's because as I get older, my attitudes are changing. Plus, too, you know, I realize that there's nothing that I owe them anymore, nor do they owe me. And there's nothing that I can do right now that will ever win, you know, not win their approval, but even, you know, like gain their respect. I don't think there's anything right now at this point that I can do, because for that, you know, like you said, I've done two things wrong, left home and my life.
Mm-hmm. But you're still on speaking terms.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you still go over and visit?
Not as much. But I see her once in a while. And she's even come here when I stay away for too long
mm-hmm.
to make sure that I'm all right. But that's the way it's got to be, because if I go there a lot, then she wants to know more about what's happening to me. Plus, too, the last lover that I had, she got very close to, and that for some reason that hurt her a lot more than it hurt me when we split, and she persuaded me to go back with this woman, and this woman was sort of, you know, even though she was good for me in a lot of ways, she was also sort of bad for my mental health, you know, and. But she loved this woman, you know. She loved this woman, and she thinks that I left her to go out, you know, to find another one, another pendeja. She calls us pendejas.
Spell
pendejas. I'm not sure how you spell it, but it comes from.
Is it with a B?
P.
P. P. E. N. D. E. J. A.
I think so.
Yeah.
And it comes from a word which means pubic hair.
Uh-huh.
And So. When my friend and I, her mother, she sort of had a breakdown, so her mother came to get her. And my mother, she didn't see this. She didn't know what was happening, and there was no way I could tell her what was happening in our life. So she thought that I had just sort of, you know, left her, thrown her out, that kind of thing. And so she gave me this long lecture about if I was to be with a woman, that I should at least stay with this one, because she was good.
Mm.
She was, you know, she was sensitive to other people's problems. She was this and she was that, and I had a good woman in her. And so she kind of persuaded me to bring back. But so I, you know, so we tried it for a month, but it was the same thing. So it had, you know, it went on different ways. And I've been alone since.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that she disapproves of your lesbianism.
Yeah.
And yet.
And what the funny thing is, Madeline, is that she's American. My mother had this, she's got this thing for American women that they're no good, that they're like whores, like
mm-hmm.
they're real loose, they're very promiscuous, you know.
Yeah.
And but with this lady friend of mine, no, well, she just maybe because this lady friend of mine had me so that I didn't even step out the door by myself. Who knows? So she saw her as a mother image for me, you know.
Uh-huh.
Very protective, very...
Taking care of you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And as long as you weren't going to be under your mother's wing,
she liked
there was somebody's yeah. wing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real interesting.
And I brought everybody that I've been with, she's met, you know, except for the first one. But I think she met her in a very strange situation where went to her house when I first left home. But everybody else I've always brought home, no matter what she had to say to me or to the other person. I brought them home because I, to top it off, I never felt cheap about it. nor did I ever feel that it was that ugly, nor did I ever feel that it was, you know, that distasteful to bring someone. I didn't think it was just, I thought that if that was my girlfriend, you know, the least you could do is meet her.
Mm-hmm.
And I would bring them home.
You said when you were like 12 or so, you started getting feelings of liking women in ways that you knew were different. Uh-huh. But you never acted on those feelings until you met this first woman.
Well, I sort of did. Well, I guess I kind of did because when my brother had a girlfriend, he didn't know how to kiss her, so he would have me kiss her for him. And that's how, but we were a lot younger than 12. We were like 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. And I remember liking to kiss the girls. I mean, kissing his girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was 12, it was somewhat different because this woman, she was, I think she was like 19, 20. And I don't know, but she was very attached to me in a strange way. She would have me go to the store with her, and you know, she would have me help her clean house and whatnot. And one day she noticed that I liked watching her dance. So she did a strip number for me, you know. And when she saw that I really liked that, she was, whenever she had a chance, she would strip for me. And she would get down to her bra and her underwear, and she would flaunt her butt in my face, you know. And that used to make, that would make me cry because I would want to touch her, and I'd be so afraid, but it was right in front of my face, you know. And I remember I used to get like, you know, like my groin would ache, but I didn't know what it was all about or what I could do about that, or,
mm-hmm.
but that was actually my first feeling that I really wanted a woman.
Mm-hmm. How did you meet the first woman that you started to see, that you had a relationship with?
How did I meet her? Well, I had a few friends in school who knew that I liked women that were close to me, and we were sort of like kissing buddies, you know. And
I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, they liked men and everything, but they also liked me, and you know, once in a while they would let me kiss them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't enough for me because I would want to experiment, and they never let me go beyond that. So I remember telling my friend one day that I had to go out on my own. And the same day that I said that, there used to be a restaurant across the street from the school, high school I was attending, and I remember seeing this woman who was behind this pizzeria thing. She was little, and she had like streak blonde hair, and it was short. She had on desert boots, and I think she had on jeans and a sweatshirt. And I remember saying to myself, "That's a butch." And so I went.
How did you know that word? Where'd you hear that word?
I had met Bobby. Well, how did I know that word? I don't know. I don't really know. I guess reading material from when I was,
mm-hmm.
True stories. But I remember thinking that was a butch, just like the kind that I would see in Amos. So I went in purposely just to see her, and bought some pop. And left. I'm feeling sort of lightheaded because, you know, I think I asked her for matches too. Anyway, so the next day I went back to the store and she wasn't there. And so I talked to the guy that was running the restaurant, and I asked him about the lady that was there, and he says, that's so and so, and she drives a cab, and she's usually here around 3, and her name is, you know, he gave her name. So I left feeling good. And the next day, I saw her, and I remember going in, and I said, and I actually, you know, tried to warm up. And so she ended up giving me a ride to work, and because I was working after school. So a couple of days later, she was there again, and she asked me if I wanted a ride to work. So we started talking, and that's how it began, sort of.
Well,
casual. It was a casual thing. Anyway, it started off casual, where I had. There were a couple gay women that used to live on the same block where my parents lived, and so I asked her if she knew those people, and she said yeah. So then she asked me, I think it came out one day, she asked me if I liked women, and it sort of happened like that.
Mm-hmm.
And She lived around the block too from me, from mm-hmm. my house, so that made it easy.
You had never, this was your first physical experience
yeah.
with this woman? How did you feel?
I, how did I feel? She invited me over to her house. I was 17. I remember we were laying on this feather bed, and I had shorts on and just a blouse, and she started taking my clothes off, and I felt sort of humiliated that she was doing that, you know. And then I remember my legs were both tight. They just wouldn't open. But I wasn't relaxed at all. Not too much went on that first time, because I couldn't loosen up.
Mm-hmm.
And plus two, I was afraid because I didn't know what she was doing. And I didn't like it. I remember not liking it
mm-hmm.
because I was uncomfortable with the feeling that someone was down there.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't stop you from going back?
No, because I was still curious as to what it was all about. The first time that she mounted me, I remember thinking, well, what is she going to do? She's got nothing to put inside me. But because I thought it was rather strange, you know, because here we were, she would want me in the nude, but she would go to bed and she would crawl in bed with underwear and a t-shirt and not take it off, you know. And the first time I remember, the first time I touched her, she was laying in bed and I touched her breast. She had a t-shirt on and I wanted to touch her. And she jumped up in bed and she, you know, she got mad. She got riled with the fact that I touched her. And so I just let it go. I never pushed it. You know, I just let her do whatever she wanted to me. But I always thought that wasn't fair because I never felt like I was doing what I really wanted to do. You know, no, there was no expression there on my part because I wanted her too.
Did you talk about that?
You know, I don't exactly remember too much about it. It's because it's sort of faint, but I was always quiet. I mean, I'm still quiet now. I was naive, very naive in those days, and I was real shy, so that something like that, I was always afraid to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
But one night, we had some trouble, but one night she was laying in bed, and I remember I turned around. This was after like months. We were living together then. I pulled her. I went down on her, and she liked it, you know. And that was strange for her to even let me go that far, because I guess I caught her unexpectedly, though. It was something that she never thought I had the nerve to do. But she liked it, you know. I mean, it was okay. And once in a while after that, I would try to do it. But she always would remind me, I'm the butch, you're the femme. And it was like, you can't do this to me because, you know, I'm supposed to be doing it to you.
And you didn't think that was fair?
No.
Did you think that you should be the butch?
No, I didn't feel that at all. I didn't feel that I should be the butch or the femme. I just felt that it should flow, you know. If I wanted to touch you, let me touch you without feeling that I was going to do something to you that I'm not, you know,
mm-hmm.
not supposed to.
I guess what I'd like to find out about is the sense of how you were attracted to someone that you felt was, well, denying you something that you wanted to do most of the time and was acting in a manner that you felt was not quite correct for you to be involved with, and yet you were attracted
yeah.
to her, and you did stay in that relationship for how long?
Oh, about 11 months, I think.
Uh-huh.
We lived together. It was hard. It was hard in the sense that in those days, I didn't know any better. You know, I didn't know any better that. You know what it was? I felt I was married. Deep down, I felt I was married. I mean, I was raised to think that when you lived with someone, I was married, and because she looked so much like a boy, I felt like she was my husband. So that I never questioned anything. I mean, I was playing my mother's role too, whereas I never questioned her, because I felt that, you know, she thought the way she did, and she knew what was right, because she was a lot older than I was, and plus too, because she had such a male image that she, you know, kept up with. So I never questioned her. I just took it for granted that that's the way it had to be if I wanted to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed, Madeline, that when I became somewhat aggressive in the relationship, I was no longer the sweet little girl, you know, that, and she didn't like that too much. She didn't like that. As a matter of fact, we sort of ended up splitting because of that. Because I was growing up and I was starting, I wanted more, and she couldn't give me more.
Mm-hmm. Then what happened? How did you break up? How does a first breakup happen?
She was working at Crescendo's. I guess she was having an affair with someone else, and I happened to stop in the bar. And I noticed that she didn't want me there. I got the feeling that I wasn't wanted in the place. And I wasn't one to go to the bars. I mean, I wasn't one to really like the bars then, because I always felt that I used to have dreams that the people that I would see in the bars were monsters, you know, like they were, in my dreams they were monsters. And so I never cared for the place. But I wanted to go this one night, and I had this feeling she didn't want me there. So she had someone drive me home, and when this person drove me home, I asked, you know, the woman if she wanted to come up, and I offered her a drink, and we were talking and this and that, and it turned out that it was she was the one that she was having an affair with, and the lady told me that night, and I remember sitting there, and I didn't know what to say to her. I mean, because she was a lot older than she was a lot older than I was, and I think I just turned 19.
So we're talking about 19.
This was 70. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. And the Crescendo was Elmwood and
Huron.
Yeah. Okay.
And she, when she told me that, it was like a slap in the face. But so when I waited up for her, and she didn't come until late. Really, I mean, early in the morning, and I asked her. She kind of, in a nice way, she told me she didn't want to live with me, and so I had to move. I remember feeling shattered. I mean, because I felt, where was I to go? I know my parents didn't want me, and I was in no position. I mean, I didn't have the stamina in those days to make roots for myself. I mean, you know, like start a house. That kind of, I don't know what I was thinking, but I just felt homeless,
mm-hmm.
And so I went to my aunt, because my aunt knew us, and so we went to New York. But I lost control. I had lost control of my head, I think, because I felt disoriented. I remember being in New York and thinking, where am I? You know, what am I doing here? I should be home, but where's home? And I came back. I was only there like, I think, 3 days. I came back and I started seeing this. I started going to the Suicide Prevention Center. My father wanted me to go. Oh, you know why? Let me tell you. See, even though they suspected, I mean, even though they knew that I was seeing, that I had seen a woman, and even though that I had left home, they never actually knew that I was living with this woman, because I never told them, and they never came out and asked me, nor did they ever want to visit me. But when she told me that I had to leave, and that night when I went to my aunt's house, she didn't know what to do with me. So she says, go to your parents, you know, and tell them. So I told them that I had been living with, I had told them, and I was so shaken up. My father, they took my socks off, you know. I remember them taking my socks off to check between my toes. They thought I was on dope in my fingers, because like my hands were shaking, you know, I couldn't hold the cup. So they thought that she was feeding me stuff, and they were mad because, they thought that she had me doing hard stuff. See, they didn't understand the life, so they didn't think it could be normal. I mean, They thought you did all kinds of things, you know.
Oh, they associated being a lesbian with...
Yeah. Drugs, prostitution.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Alcohol,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they sent me to New York because they wanted me to go visit my uncle who was life from the army, who had some education, and then maybe he could, you know, reason things out with me. Well, I went to see him, you know. They picked me up and everything. And I remember, you know, years later laughing. I mean, this stuff hasn't hit me until about 2 weeks ago, no lie. And I fell apart. I mean, I feel like I'm falling apart because all these things I forgot. And yet, lately I've been wanting to remember because I feel like there's something that I've missed, you know, like my sexuality. I haven't really defined my sexuality. In order for me to do that, I have to look back. And I've never looked back. I've never thought about what I've done until now, you know. That's mm-hmm. really strange.
Well, that was a permanent record.
But
you can listen to it anytime you want.
But I remember my uncle telling me that he loved me like a daughter, and he was taking me into his house like a daughter, that if I was to look at his daughter or his wife with any feelings like that he would throw me out. And just throw me out. So I remember feeling uncomfortable because he made me feel as if I was out to seduce him in some way, and that was my aunt and my cousin. And this was the educated one, the one that was, to give me.
Right.
So I felt, even though I was wanted in his house, I felt very awkward with my presence because he was very suspicious of every move that I made. So I knew that I couldn't live like that, so I came back to Buffalo. And my father met me at the airport, and he wanted me to start seeing a psychiatrist, but he couldn't afford one, so he had me go to suicide prevention center. And there, they just told him to accept what I was, and he didn't like that.
Who did you see there?
Her name was Elsa Pacheco.
Uh-huh.
They referred me to someone that was Spanish, and so I had been going for like a month. And she finally wanted to meet my mother and my father. My mother didn't want to go because I remember her crying, saying, well, if they're going to tell me that that's what you are, I don't want to hear it because that's what I know already. I want to know that you're going to change. And I just looked at her and I said, I'm not going to change. That's not something you can change just like that. And so I went. My father went. And she told my father, you know, basically that's, you know, I'm a lot happier that way if I could just learn to live with it. I mean, learn to accept what I am and for them to accept me. And he didn't like it. He told her off and just walked out. But I moved out of home then again.
Uh-huh.
I was there 2 weeks.
Where did you go?
I went to my aunt's house, and I stayed there for the summer. I was working at Bernal Home.
Oh, yeah.
Just...
Well, how did you start meeting...
People?
Friends, and...
Well, I used to... When high school, I met Bobby Bailey.
Yeah.
And then from there, I remember when I didn't have... We used to go out. She would drag me out to the bar so that I could meet people. And from there, I met, you know, people like Judy and Delilah, and
mm-hmm.
basically I'm still with the same people. I don't, mm-hmm. I haven't really acquired new friends. I just have a few friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a loner.
So you started having those friends pretty much from the very beginning, even while you were living with Bobby, those other people
yeah.
were your friends, and they've been kind of like your support through the whole thing.
Some, well, I've been going out again lately. It's to the bars. I've been going to Mean Alice's because, like, I became afraid of women or something. I didn't know how to. I don't know how to meet. I don't. You know, I have a hard time meeting people because I don't. Sometimes I don't know what to say when this next. But as far as women. I got to a point where I was so afraid of women, you know, because of what I went through this past year. I got so afraid of people. I mean, just people in general, so it was even worse to meet a woman. So mm-hmm. I've stayed away from the women's bar. And I've been going to Mean Alice's, where my brother's dragged me out to Mean Alice's, sort of like build my, for me to come out of my shell. There, you don't, there nothing's intimate. There you just dance and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
To see maybe, you know, I can meet friends. And that's been okay this whole summer. That's what I've done. Just when I've gone out, I mean, go out to dance at Mean Alice's. But a couple weeks ago, I just had it in me that I was going to go out to Valentino's. And I went. And I wanted to go by myself. And my brother drove me. He was going to drop me off at the door by myself. And it was like, after 10, so I know there was a car. And I got so paranoid. I didn't want to go in there alone. So he came in. He came in for a drink. And I ended up leaving because it's a whole, like, the women are a lot younger. And I just knew that if I wanted to meet friends, that's not the place to meet it, right? Meet them right then and there, you know. Unless you go with a group of friends, you know. And I was just with my brother, and he didn't want to stay. He wanted me to go out and have a nice time. But how do you do that when you're like clammed up? Mm-hmm. You can't.
That's what's been happening to you recently. Mm-hmm. Well, you've had a few relationships between that first one, that 11-month one with Bobby, and this last one that was a real tough one, I guess. At least a tough one toward the end. Well, none of them are happy at the end. Were those any different from the first relationship? Was the role-playing as heavy in those relationships
No.
as the first one?
No, what ended up was that, since that first relationship, all the other women that I've been with, they've never been as hard as my first one, you know, as far as the way they dressed. In bed, there was never this, well, you can't touch me. We did with each other, I mean,
mm-hmm.
whatever we felt, without no inhibitions, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you felt more comfortable in a more mutual kind of relationship. Did, in those relationships, about how many were there?
That I did?
Yeah, fairly long term.
Well, four, including Bobby.
Uh-huh.
I've lived with four women.
Yeah.
And they've averaged out a year, not long, but a year.
Uh-huh. You know.
Well, Iris was 2 years, almost three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forgot the question I was going to ask. Oh, in those relationships, did you ever feel that maybe one of you was more butch or more femme than the other? Was your view of it?
Yeah. My third relationship, I felt that she was like a lot stronger than I was.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, so I was sort of, I mean, passive again, like, but not as hard. It wasn't like living with Bobby, though, because there were days where she needed support and some without feeling like she was letting down whatever it was, her mm-hmm. image, or she would turn to me and
mm-hmm.
And yet, when I think back, you know, in all my relationships, no matter how hard or how soft the woman was, I always seemed to be passive. I mean, more passive than what I look, than what I act. Because I like... I guess emotionally, I wanted a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was passive.
Are you talking about sexually or
no? Just other things too. Like I like the one. I'm the one that likes to clean house. I like
uh-huh.
to cook.
Okay.
I like to sew. I like to work my hands too. I like doing hard stuff. But
eating a cookie is all your pretty hard stuff.
But like, I like to take care of the house, you know,
mm-hmm.
and yet I like to do other things too. And all of that has been, like, I like to take over in that respect. And, you know,
you like to run the household.
Mm-hmm. Make sure that the groceries are bought, bills mm-hmm. are paid. Although that could go to the other, but...
Well, your mother taught you how to do that. So, apparently you learned real well how to do it. Well, first of all, I want to find out where this tape is. Make sure we don't run it out.